Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And can I say it? Can you say it with me? It is going to be a great word today. It's going to be a great word today. You know, I get all excited and giddy for Jesus. I do. And, you know, the word that God gave for me this morning, you know, is, you know, what do we have to do to be saved? And to be saved, we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's the word for today. Believe. Do you believe with me? And how wonderful our Savior is. We are blessed beyond measure to know that we have a risen Savior who loves us more than anything. I get giddy for Jesus. Yes, I do. And I can't help myself. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your goodness and your kindness. Just thank you. So I'm excited. And, you know, as we get ready to start our word this morning, just want to lift up the name of Jesus over our nation. Every day, you know, I get news feeds. It's something about a baby being killed, whether by nature or by some gun violence. We need to pray. This morning, as I'm getting ready to start, you know, with the word today, and it comes across my feed, my news feed, that two young people had been swept away and drowned. You know, all these things are happening. And again, you know, all two boys dead after being swept away by water, like from an open dam. Two boys dead after being swept away by waters from an open dam. Two boys have died after they were swept away by waters from an open dam in Oklahoma City. You know, we have got to pray. We've got to pray for our children. We've got to pray for our families. We just need more prayer. More prayer, more power. And we're going to talk about prayer today. Prayer and changing things. Prayer can free the incarcerated. Prayer can open doors and break chains. And we need to pray. And the word that God gave for today in our book of prayers is bearing gifts. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But in each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Not for selfish gain does God call us. He calls us for salvation. To be each other's helpers, to be each other's keepers. You know, Cain, he says, where's your brother? And what did Cain say? Am I my brother's keeper? Wonderful one, you are the giver of all good things. You pour out your gifts to all in different measures and in unique ways. I am thankful for the gifts you have deposited in me. I know that I did not get left out when you were deciding who gets what. Keep my heart from jealousy that would see another's gifts as more valuable than my own. Your love does not discriminate. Let my confidence assurance in your character translates to confidence in who you've created me to be. I don't want to be anyone else. No, I want to come alive in who you have proposed me to become. Let me never forget how you delight in me as I find my confidence in your spirit that fills me. Let me see the beauty that you have put in others. I pray that I would value those with gifts and temperaments different from my own. You are Lord over all. You are the unifier. And the question for this morning, as we think on Jesus and prayer, is what gifts has God put in you to reflect his characters to others? What has he put in you to reflect his character to others? We've got to trust God. We've got to lift up the name of Jesus in everything we do. We've got to have our at about midnight moment where the foundations shake, where our lives are changed, trusting in God and knowing that everything will work out for our good. Heavenly Father God, we come to you today lifting up the name of Jesus and asking you, Father God, to increase as we decrease, Lord God, asking you to come in, God, take a seat, God, and guide and lead us, God. For we each and every one of us listening live or listening later have a situation, God, that only you can solve. And Father God, I just ask you to cover our children, God. Cover each and every child as they go to summer school and camps or just at home, Lord God. Keep them covered by the blood of Jesus from the crowns of their heads to the soles of our feet, Lord. And I pray special prayers over our teenagers, God. For our teenagers are being killed in record numbers by their peers, God. When children are becoming the perpetrators of gun violence, God. We're asking you, God, holy God, magnificent one, to cover this land, God. You said in your word that we just read recently of my people. We are your people, God. And we are humbling ourselves today. We are crying out, God, asking you to heal the land, God. We're turning from wicked ways, God. Asking you to heal the land, God. We're asking you, God, as only you can do it, please watch over and heal our children, God. Heal their minds, heal their spirits, God. Bring fathers back into the households, God. Change the mindset of divorced parents that they will work together and not work in apart, God. That they will keep their children first and let all the other things go, God. Father God, we're lifting up everyone today. We're lifting up pastors today, God, who have one of the hardest jobs, God, to be shepherds over your flock. And I'm asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, give them strength. Give them guidance. Give them all that they need, Lord, to put you first and let you be the guiding factor in everything they do. In the name of Christ Jesus, Father God, I lift up this word. Let this word be nourishment to someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, that they want their at about midnight moment as they're singing their hymns and praying to you and feel the foundation shake. Father God, let foundations shake today. Let prison walls be open today. Let chains be loose today. Lord God, we're asking you to break generational curses today. We're believing in you, God, that all things are working for good for your people, God, and for this planet, God, this beautiful planet that you gave us, God, where we have sickened the air with the sickened bodies, God. We're asking for a purification, Lord God, a purification of hope, a purification of joy, a purification of everything we need. Lord, purify our heart. Give us a right spirit, God. Clean us with hyssop, Lord God. that you may be seen in us. In Jesus' name I pray, lifting up this mighty word, Lord God, for you are the source of my strength and the strength of my life. You are my redeemed, and you said in your word, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I say so, for I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. In his name I pray, amen. Whew, you just feel the power of prayer. We've got to pray. Prayer changes things. Thank you for praying for me. Keep praying for me. I'm still dealing with my cough. Had some issues yesterday. And I just want to thank God that he was had someone with me at the time. I started to choke. And I know that it is an attack because I'm doing something that God has called me to do for my family, for my mother. And the enemy is mad because God knows that something is about to happen. And the something that's about to happen is a shift. And I know that God is about to shift some things in my life. And I'm thanking him for it. And I'm thanking him for just the joy and the peace that can only come from him. And as we go forth, it says this, then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baal, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places, the wooden images from Judah. In the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hal, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, cities of Judah, and with them he sent Levi, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Eshel, Miramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, the Levites, and with them Ishma and Joram and the priests. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents with silver as tribute, and Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. He had much property in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. These are their numbers according to their fathers' houses. Of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adnai, the captain, and with him 300,000 mighty men of valor. The next to him was Jehohanan, the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amishai, the son of Zechary, who willingly offered himself to the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. Of Benjamin, Eliadad, a mighty man of valor, with him 200,000 men armed with bow and shield. And next to him was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 prepared for war. These served the king besides those the king put in the 45 cities throughout all Judah. And we'll do all life lessons at the end today. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. And we all know who Ahab was. Come on, y'all, talk about it. Had a wife named, you know what, with a J, Miss Jezebel. So he was allied with Ahab. After some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go out with him to Ramoth Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? Now he done went up to visit, and he done pulled him into war. And he answered, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war. Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. He's like, well, wait a minute now. I'll go on with you, but I want an inquiry of the Lord, because Jehoshaphat had learned. You got to inquire of God. You can't just go willy-nilly. You got to ask God, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to go? And so he said, and, you know, the king now, he know. He been living wrong. He know that the prophets of the Lord don't particularly care for him. And he also knows that right now he's on the outs. So this is what he says. So let's go back into this word, because it is so rich. Because, you know, everything that we're reading now, I just want to make sure. Because some folks are like, wait a minute, did we read that already? Yes, we have. Remember, when we go through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you're going to have some of the same story. Because Chronicles chronologically gives us the stories of all the things we read in Samuel, the things we read in Kings. And now these are like the rest of these stories being put together again. So these six books really are all, I call them that I learned in class, but that these are books that really are all complements to each other, and that you really should read them all. You should read the Chronicles, the Kings, and 1 and 2 Samuel, because they all come together in the Kings of Israel. It chronologically gives us the stories. And so, yes, we've read this before. We read it in the Kings, and you know, but we're reading it again. And this gives it a little bit more flavor, I guess, is what I want to say. And it gives it more of a story time. And it says, and so they said, go up, for God will deliver it. Oh, hold on. Let me go back. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hands. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Jehoshaphat's like, no. Stop back. Hold on. Wait a minute. We're going to put some God in it. Because these guys, I ain't feeling that. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Then the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring Mechaniah, the son of Imlah, quickly. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each on his throne, and they sat at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hands. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Therefore, please let your words be like the words of one of them, and speak encouragement." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak." Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, to war against Ramoth Gilead, and shall I refrain?" And he said, "Go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hands." So the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd." And the Lord said, "These have no master. Let each return to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil?" Then Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead?" So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, "I will persuade him." The Lord said to him, "In what way?" So he said, "I will go out and be a lion spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." And the Lord said, "You shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lion spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you." Now, you know what? All I can say is this prophet didn't play. You know, you don't see him very young. I think this is actually the only place in the Bible you hear a Micaiah. But I'm going to tell you, he was tough. He didn't play with Ahab. He told the truth, and the truth is what set him free. And now, you know, you're going to have other prophets that get mad. It's like, wait a minute, who are you to say that we are wrong? Maybe you are wrong. But this prophet is telling the truth. Because how you know a prophet tells the truth, you'll see whatever it is they say come to fruition. And then it says, then Zedekiah the son of Tanaiah went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you?" And Micaiah said, "Indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide." Then the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put his fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace." But Micaiah said, "If you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me." And he said, "Take heed, all you people." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robe." So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots who were with him, saying, "Fight with no one, small or great, but only with the king of Israel." So it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, "Is it the king of Israel?" Therefore they surrounded him to attack. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. For so it was when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now certain men drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around and take me out of battle, for I am wounded." The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Syrians until evening, the time of sunset, he died. What did the prophet tell him? What did he say? Did he not say that I'm going to put a lion spirit in the mouth of the prophet? That God put a lion spirit in the mouth of the prophet? We got to understand that all prophets are not prophets. Some of them are prophet liars. and will lie to your face. And most of the proper lies are prophets for cash. You give me money, I give you a prophecy. That's this side of somebody being a psychic. You know, come on, we got to be careful what we as Christians do. We got to be careful that you don't fall into that trap of prophetic word for hire. We got to be very, very careful because the enemy will use these people to knock you off your square. The enemy will use these people to get you off of where God wanted you to go in the first place. You will get knocked out. They will tell you something totally opposite of what God wants you to do. And it starts you down the wrong course because you listen to a proper liar. We have to be very, very careful as men and women of God. Watch as well as pray. My mother-in-law used to say it all the time. Now I understand it better what she meant. We've got to watch and we've got to pray because the enemy is busy. He is so busy and we're giving him credit for everything. But I tell you this, one thing I know is that we have to be careful of those that will lie in the name of the Lord. God is going to, as I always say, there's a special place in hell for those that send God's people down the wrong path. And that's just my feeling. God has not put that in my spirit. God has not told me to say that. That's just how I feel, that there's a special place in hell for those that lead God's people astray. You know, preaching not from God's word, but some doctrine that was not written by God, did not have any godliness in it. We have to be so very careful. And Jehoshaphat, just sweet, just a good king, just loving God. But one thing, he was smart. He said, wait a minute. Hold on, wait a minute. Let's back this thing up. I'm not going anywhere with you until I inquire of a prophet of the Lord. You know, he's like looking at all these 400 said to him, shall we go? And he's like, oh, yeah, you go. And, you know, he's like, oh, wait a minute. Is there not still a prophet of the Lord? He's like, these are your prophets. These ain't got nothing to do with God. I want a Lord's prophet. And he's like, well, you know, but he hates me. He tells you the truth and you don't like it. He told you about yourself. You didn't like it. And he came and told you the truth. And I'm just going to give a little, I don't know if it's in the Chronicles, what happened. Yeah, it does. It probably is. It'll be in tomorrow's lesson, what happened to this prophet that slaps Zedekiah, that slaps Micaiah. We're going to see what happens to him. Because what did he tell him? He said, indeed, you shall see on the day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. As we can see now, Ahab is dead. And it goes on to tell us in our life lessons for 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and 18. The fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land that were around Judah so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. The Lord has untold weapons in his heavenly arsenal to protect his obedient people. Here he used a general sense of war to keep Israel's enemies at bay. Who knows how the Lord is protecting you right now? Hallelujah. Do you know how he's protecting you right now? He's got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. That's what God has for you. He loves us. He cares about us. And he wants the best for us. All we have to do is believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you know that he is the Son of God? Have you been saved, set free, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit? And then as we go into 2 Chronicles 18 and 31, Jehoshaphat cried out and the Lord helped him. The Lord helped Jehoshaphat out of a tight spot that he never should have been in. Why did godly King Jehoshaphat accompany Ahab to battle after hearing the prophecy of doom uttered by Micaiah? We don't know, but God in his grace spared him. God's grace covers a multitude of our sins, but we should never presume upon it. God protected him because he went to battle with Ahab. because that was his father-in-law. And they were also all Israelites. They were family. And he went to battle because he was a family man. And he went with his father-in-law, as a family man would do. He went to help his father-in-law. Even though he knew it was doomed, he went anyway. And he knew that God had him covered. He knew that he was covered by the blood of Jesus. He didn't know Jesus at that time, but he knew God. And he knew that he was covered. And we got to know. We got to know we are covered. That we are covered by Jesus. We are covered by the blood. We are covered by angels of heaven. And it goes on to say in 2 Chronicles 18:33, a certain man drew a bow at random, you caught that, and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his army. Now he's going to put Jehoshaphat as the subterfuge. I'm going to put him in. I mean, you stay in your robes. You go on, son-in-law. It's all good. They'll go after you, and I'll be all right. No. When it's your time. And it can happen randomly. But the Bible says that this was a random action by some unknown man. That arrow had a divine appointment with the joints of Ahab's armor. God can do whatever he pleases in order to fulfill his plans, even using seemingly random events to further his will. Come on now, Romans 8:28, all things work for good. We better understand that whatever God has planned are God's plans. He will give you favor, or he may not. But the one thing you do is remember who he is. And he is our Father in heaven, and he loves us. And as we go into our psalm this morning, we are in the 81st Psalm, and we're going to be reading verses 11 through 16. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. And we're going to still be in Acts chapter 16, verses 22 through 40. And I have to admit, this is my favorite Acts. This is my very, very favorite story in the book of Acts. It just does something to my spirit. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. I love, and I almost titled, I mean, not God. Almost titled the lesson at about midnight, because that just, but that was not God's plan. God's plan was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. But the word that God gave me was believe in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's our title for this morning, seeing the miracles of God. Jehoshaphat, all his kingly garments, saved by the grace of God. And as we go into our psalm, it says, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsel. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my way. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversary. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their faith would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you. And I love that word. And that is our life lesson for this morning. It says, with honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you. God loves to bless his people. When they obey his commands, he wants us to understand that the good life comes to us only through him and not through any other means. God will bless you when you least expect it. God will send an angel with a check. And I tell you, I've seen it. It's worked. I have a new chimney because God sent an angel with a check. Don't tell me what my daddy God can do. And he knew that I needed it. I didn't have it to do what I needed. I would have had to take, as they say, borrow from Peter to pay Paul in that particular situation. But God, don't tell me what my daddy can't do. My daddy can do all things. Okay. And all I can say is thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Ooh, Jesus. This lesson just fills me up today. I am filled up. In Proverbs 20 and 26 says, a wise king shifts out the wicked and brings a thrashing wheel over them. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. And when we look at this, you can see Jehoshaphat in that. You know, he was just this king that was like, I'm doing what God tells me to do. I'm going to trust the Lord. You know, and he went with his father-in-law. You know, shouldn't have married Ahab's daughter, but he did. And they family. And he went and he helped his family. But understand, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. God knew Jehoshaphat's heart. And he said, mercy and truth preserves the king, which God did. And by loving kindness, he upholds his throne, which God did. God is omnipotent, and he's sovereign, and he loves us. And as we go into Acts chapter 16, again, my favorite, I got a shout-out, Colorado Mass Choir. We sing a song called Shake the Foundation, and it's based on this scripture. And, you know, it's like, glory, hallelujah, this is what we come to do. Tear down strongholds, break the chains by the devil in Jesus' name. Tonight, we have a right to shake the foundation with praise. And this morning, we have a right to shake the foundation with praise. I praise him today. I praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. But they are one. Since then, the multitudes rose up together against them. Because remember, wherever they go, here comes the Jews to start mess. And so they, you know, these folks, you know, in this particular case, they took a diviner's power. Paul got sick and tired of being sick and tired of this little girl running behind him. And they are men of God, and they are men of God. When all it was a subterfuge to get money for people to follow after them and her divinations. So the folks that was using her got mad. This is a overview from yesterday. They got mad that these guys were coming and taking away income because they was prophesying and divining all the things God tells not to do. Medium psychic kind of mess. You know, more psychic than anything. And so they going to beat them up. And so this is what happened. You know, they took them to the judge and they are causing trouble. You know, all right, let me go back over a little bit in yesterday's lesson. It says, and they brought them to the magistrate and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. But I'm going to go back a little bit into verse 18. And she did this for days. These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. And she did it for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out at the very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the magistrate rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened them. And that means they fastened them with chains. But at midnight, come on now. Can y'all say at midnight? Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword, was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe," can you say it with me, "believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officer saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed, let them come themselves and get us out." And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Wow. What a word. But let's go back to the life lesson. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. We wonder why, when we were little kids, we'd see a grandmother in her rocking chair just singing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." We understand now that, and then she said, "Oh, Lord, you know my heart. Oh, Lord, you know what I need. Oh, Lord, I give myself away for you to use me." Now we understand why she's in her chair, why she's rocking, why she's singing, because she was having her at about midnight moment. She knew that God was shaking foundations. God was loosening chains, chains that were binding her, chains that were binding her children. They knew that God was giving her at about midnight moment. And as we go into our word, Paul and Silas had been attacked by a mob, beaten by soldiers, thrown into stocks, and shoved into a dark, high-security prison cell. How did they react? With prayer and singing. Only the Spirit can produce such unexpected joy. Hallelujah. Because they were put there for the jailer and his family. They were put there for souls to be saved. Because you can't tell me that some of those prisoners didn't get saved that day as well. Didn't get saved at about midnight. Didn't come and know that they had to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that it wasn't just the jailer and his family that got saved. I'm believing it was prisoners who got saved that night, who got saved when their chains was broken, who got saved when the doors were open, who got saved that night. We got to know that God's in charge of everything, and we all meet at about midnight moment. And it says, Silas, singing for victory, and exhausted as he fell, Silas could not sleep. The cell air in the inner cell made breathing difficult, and the torment of his wounds kept him from getting much-needed rest, much-needed sleep. Would he or Paul live to see another day? Silas did not know. Yet Silas neither meditated on injustice nor despaired of his situation. Instead, faith filled his heart. When Silas and Paul lifted their voices in song, a violent earthquake shook the prison. Soon they led the jailer and his entire family to the Lord. You have a song to sing as well. Though your situation may feel overwhelming, thank you, God, for them. Are you willing to trust God in your circumstances? That's a question I asked this morning. Do you believe that no problem is beyond his power? As you allow God to conduct the symphony of your life, you will see him shaking your own prison. Will you, like Silas, lift up your voice to herald the coming of victory? Hallelujah. Do you have victory this morning in your spirit? Do you have a thank you, Lord, in your spirit? Do you know that you're at about midnight today? Hallelujah. All I can say is thank you, Jesus, this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for a mighty word. Thank you, God, for giving us up at about midnight to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Hallelujah. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Then you will be saved. You are saved by the blood. Hallelujah. All I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for another mighty word, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thanking God this morning. Thanking God. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to his name today. Glory to his name today. Many were not on when I started this morning. So I'm going to go back to the question of the day. For this word that God gave us, bearing gifts. There are a variety of gifts, but the same spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for a common good. Wonderful one. And I'm going to add, mighty Father, you are the giver of all good things. You pour out your gifts to all in different measures and in unique ways. I am thankful for the gifts you have deposited in me. I know that I did not get left out when you were deciding who gets what keep my heart from jealousy that would see another's gift as more valuable than my own. Your love does not discriminate. Let my confident assurance in your character translate to confidence in who you created me to be. I don't want to be anyone else. No, I want to come alive in who you have proposed me to become. Let me never forget how you delight in me as I find my confidence in your spirit that fills me. Let me see the beauty that you have put in others. I pray that I would value those with gifts and temperaments different from my own. You are Lord over all. You are the unifier. Hallelujah. And the question this morning, what gifts has God put in you to reflect his character in others? Whatever you've been given, use it for God's glory. Use it for God's glory. And I thank God that he has put the gift of communication in me. I'm grateful. But this day, I am grateful that God has blessed me to speak this morning without coughing. There were times by God, Beyonce, by God, if there is anyone that God has given a word, now is the time to push the one on your phone. If you have called 213-943-3597 is a call-in number. For those that listen on other mediums, if you have a word that God has put in your heart, call 213-943-3597 and your line will be open. If you have a word for those that are already using the call-in number, just push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. God has a word for somebody. You know, I don't know who you are, but now is the time to push that one. We got to give God glory. We got to give God honor, praise, hallelujah. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. I am so grateful. You know, Carolyn has not sent us a word yet this morning, but I am going to give a little bit of time for her to send in her word. But I just have to say, thank God for the victory. Thank God for the victory in Jesus. Thank God that he has given us hope in the future. You know, I love this song, and I'm just going to play it for a minute, and then we're going to get ready to wrap up today. But, you know, when I think about victory, I think about the victory that we get in Jesus. Sometimes you got to take a minute and have a praise break. And as God is always in charge, Sister Carolyn's word just came. Hallelujah. And that word for this morning is, if God, come on, y'all. Can y'all say it with me? If God can bring you to it, he will take you through it. He has you have a triumphant Tuesday. Know that God has given you your at about midnight moment. It's time for those chains to break. It's time for the earth to quake. It's time to get up and get moving. It's time to say, I got the victory in Jesus. Why? Because I believe. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he loves me. I believe that he can heal me. I believe that I am saved by the grace of God. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this word. And I just got to give my sister's word one more time because it just right on point. Hallelujah. Good morning. If God can bring you to it. Come on now. Did he take Jehoshaphat through a war that he was about to get killed in? Because he was where they at. Come on now. Did he bring Paul and Silas out of a jail cell? Chains broken. Come on now. Did he not? Ooh, hallelujah. Bring a family to Jesus and prisoners to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. If God can bring you to it, he will bring you through it. He has you. And so today, we have victory in Jesus. We have a triumph today. So I say to you, family, as my sister in Christ has said, have a triumphant Tuesday, knowing that the Lord God is with you wherever you go, and you've had your at about midnight moment. And as we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet by the precious and holy blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap. Hallelujah, it's a wrap. And I'm sorry for those that are just joining us. We have had a wonderful day. We have had church this morning. Hallelujah. We have had church. We have been up. We've been down. We've had a midnight moment. And all I can say is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. We're going to go out as we wrap up with victory. Hallelujah. We're going back. Hallelujah.